You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 6th of March. The Jazz defense does it again. How good, really, is Rudy Gobert? And a Time Machine Tuesday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. But I'm bum 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 pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Just realizing my voice is a little scratchy this morning, but it's probably what happens by March of an NBA season. I'm the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Glad to have you with me. This is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Going inside the numbers, giving you a look behind the curtains, giving a little expertise, hopefully a little insight into your favorite basketball team. And we do it every single day. Today's show brought to you by Mazuma USA. If you're a business owner of yourself independently or 1 to 4 customers, you want to hear about Mazuma USA. And Murdoch Hyundai had a nice lunch with Blake yesterday and the crew at Murdoch Hyundai. Doing a great job at 4646 South State Street. All right, let's get to it. As is often the case, we want to update this crazy playoff picture. And as has been the case every single night, we got no help. It's insane what's going on right now in the playoff race. The Lakers look like they might give Portland a fit. Memphis took San Antonio late, but to no avail. So let's update it. Last night, Portland's win over the Lakers is actually a little bit bigger win than it looks like. That is a 50-50 win. That is a game that was a pick'em. It was about 54%. So Portland has 3 pick'em games this year. They only have 5 games, which are unlikely, and only 1 game that's a no chance. If you're just joining me on this, I've broke the rest of the season into 5 categories. 80 to 100% are certain wins. This is based on 538's win projection. Thus far this year, I'll update that in a second. Should wins 60 to 80, pick 'em 40 to 60, unlikelies 20 to 40% chance to win, and no chance 0 to 20. So last night, Portland wins. They've yet to blink. The Jazz win, and San Antonio wins. The Jazz and San Antonio were both over 80% wins, so they're certain wins. So now in the playoff race, in games are an 80 to 100% chance of the team to win based on win probability. Nobody's ever 100. No one's even usually very over at about 92. Jazz have 2 of those coming up. Nonetheless, the teams are 8-0 in those games. Someone loses one of these, that's going to be the game changer. The Jazz still have 6 of those left. The next closest is Oklahoma City, who has 4. Should wins, the last are now 9-3. So games in which 60 to 80% win total, and the whole premise kind of I have on this is that these teams are going to win at a much higher rate than usual, and that has thus far come out to be true. That the teams have won 9 of 12. The Spurs have lost 2 of those. They've won 75% of them. Pick'ems with Portland's win last night are now 2-1, and unlikelies are 5-6. The whole premise of this is that the win projection systems are off by a little because teams will outperform in the final period of time. Tonight, so no help at all. Tonight, Oklahoma City plays Houston. It's a pick'em. Only 42%, but still a pick'em. Denver plays Dallas. That's a pick'em, too. That's at 56%. Portland goes back home to play the Knicks. That's a should win, 76%. The Pelicans play the Clippers tonight, and so that's a big one. I think we want the Clippers to lose. The Pelicans feel as though they're probably further away it feels as though the Clippers are closer to falling out. Clippers are 66% win possibility tonight. Actually, it was 60 now. It doesn't matter. So that's a should win for the Clippers. So if the Pelicans can win that, it pushes him forward. You know, I altered the predictions last night a little bit with David James just kind of reviewing, not just kind of reviewing where things were, but still have it coming out as follows. The Jazz have to be just perfect for this to happen. When this all started, my predictions had Minnesota at 50 before the Butler injury, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Portland at 48, Denver, Clippers, Utah, 47, New Orleans, 46. So, no, New Orleans has won two games we didn't expect. So if they get a third, they really walk into this thing. It might be the answer. It actually might not matter tonight. I mean, that's what's so crazy. You just need one of them to take a loss. And maybe, you know, if we play the, both of them coming up here, Clippers in our building, New Orleans on the road. So it's hard to tell if there's even what you want. I mean, that's how nutty it is. What you really need is games. What you really need is you need to make sure Houston wins tonight. You need Dallas to win tonight. You need New York to upset Portland more than the Clippers-Pelicans. We're all going to watch the Clipper-Pelican game, but that's actually, we're guaranteed at least a loss there. We need somebody else to blink. Since I started this February 23rd, the only loss by anybody inside other than, and that goes back, I mean, February 23rd is the first, so it goes back to before All-Star break. The San Antonio loss to the Lakers is the only loss that hasn't been to somebody else in the West. Denver lost to Houston. Clippers lost to Houston. I mean, Jazz lost to Houston. Those are the only teams anyone's lost to. It's just insane. So no help last night, and I doubt we get any tonight, and I'm not sure that there's a clear team to root for. Last night's win is another defensive win by this team, which is great. That's who we are. I mean, we have this guy who's just absolutely incredible. The defensive rating last night was a 79.9, according to the NBA stats numbers. By the time the night was over, it's the second best defensive performance of the year. The only time the defense has been better all season long was against Washington in that 47-point win. The offense was 33rd best, but if the offense, you know, if the defense is like that, you're fine. The number that's blowing me away is that now, and actually, I have a problem where I update my sheets and then I can't really remember. But so if you go back to the Detroit game where it all changes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 of the last 17 games, the Jazz defense has had a defensive rating of 101 or below. Pelicans got to 102. Timberwolves got to 109.5. Spurs got to 111. In Rudy Gobert's 26 of his 38 games, this has been true. Say, why 101? Well, if you look at the best defense in the NBA right now, which going into last night, and I haven't looked at updated numbers, was the Boston Celtics. And they were at 101.4, I think. Now Boston's at 101.3. The Jazz, with their performance last night, are fifth at 103.1 for the season. Philly's fourth at 103.0, so we should catch them the way we're going. Might get to the Raptors at 102.6. Might get to the Spurs at 102.4. I'm not sure, but the fade is, what's going on is considerable. So I'm using 101 because that's the league's best defense. So when Rudy Gobert's been on the floor in 26 of 38 games, the Jazz have been better than the league's best defensive number. 26 of 38. You would assume that it would be half if you were the league's best defense. The Jazz are simply just better than the league's best defense. The impact of Gobert is just truly incredible. And next segment, we'll talk more about that. I'm sure you are aware of that, just basically this to be true. I actually feel like I've undervalued talking. I've not talked about this enough. But over the last 20 games, Jazz are number one defensively in the NBA. I think by a considerable margin.
In fact, I know by consensus. I mean, it's not close right now. It's almost as though we're taking that for granted. Quinn Snyder and his coaching staff and Rudy Gobert in the middle and the guys buying in, and Rubio has made some big adjustments to gambling less and letting Rudy have his impact. The Jazz are, in the last 20 games, a 98.7 defensively. The next closest is Toronto at 100.9. Houston's at 103.3, third best, which should scare all of us. I mean, that's how good they are. The league average during that period of time seems to be about a 108. Last 20 games, that's where the Thunder at 108.7. I mean, that's what the Andre Robertson value. These defensive players are just not being valued in this league correctly. So the Jazz are 10 points better about than the average defense in the NBA. Compare this a little bit. In that same time period, the Rockets and the Warriors' offensive rating is at about 115. So they're 8 points better than the league average in that same time period. Pretty incredible. All right, we'll talk. I want to talk more about Rudy. We'll touch a few more things on last night's game. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. I've had just a wonderful time being exposed to the Murdoch brand. I didn't know much about it when I first sat down with them, when the Chase family connected me with Mike and Adam, connected me with Blake and his family. We had this big meeting, and around the table were the generations of Murdochs and the pride they had in what they do and how they serve their customers. Very clear. That was the first thing. And so I thought, all right, I think I can work with these people. Little did I know that this time later I'd end up being, you know, become pretty good friends with Blake and Tyson, and gotten to know them as family. Had a great time. Tyson brought the grandma to that game. We had a blast with that. And now Blake, and I'm driving my fourth different Hyundai right now. I'm in the Sonata. And the way it works is I get to drive it for about 4,000 miles. It's a great experience. Wonderful new car. And I've been blown away. And now, actually, I've heard that they have the new Kona. It's supposed to be amazing. And Blake told me that he'll have one for me next, and I get the Kona next. So now I'm going to, like, drive the Sonata, like, everywhere. Like, it's going to be like usually, like, when I had the Santa Fe, I loved the Santa Fe. I didn't know what I was getting next. And I was, like, trying to not get to 4,000 miles to turn it back in because I liked it so much. And now I like the Sonata too, but I hear the Kona is incredible. So I'm gonna speed my fourth. I'm just gonna drive around the block a few times. I don't know. 4646 South State Street. If Hyundai's not on your list, it really should be. 100,000 mile assurance given to you with the Hyundai assurance on every car that's purchased. You got the Murdoch no regrets policy. It's a great combination. It's at 4646 South State Street, also out in Linden. Murdoch Hyundai. Okay, let's. I want to just a few notes on last night, and then I want to talk some more about Rudy. I'm really kind of mesmerized on the Rudy concept of things, actually. So, interesting little note on Jonas Derebko. He started last night, played 20 minutes. His numbers are considerably better when he starts. I'm a little surprised, but when he has started for the Jazz this year, and this is on the Twitter thread at LockedOnJazz.net. By the way, after every game, there's the Twitter thread at LockedOnJazz.net, as well as the Empty the Noggin and Postcast. But Jonas last night, coming in, he shoots 52% from the field and 47% from three on starts. And just 40% and 36% from three off the bench. Probably gets more space, more room, you would think. Last night, 4 of 6, 3 of 5 from three. So hit it. The starters were great last night. Gobert plus 22, Ingles plus 15, Derebko plus 12, Rubio plus 16, Mitchell plus 17. Bench, not as much. Interesting one to me last night was the pick and roll. So Favors is out. Rubio has run the most pick and rolls. He's a 0.92 with Favors, a 0.88 with Gobert. So better with Favors. Since January 13th, he and Favors have been great. I mean, since January 19th, been really great. He and Gobert have been better, but he and Favors on total level. Ingles, he and Favors are 0.98. They're actually 1.2 since January 19th when they run a pick and roll together, points per possession. Gobert is almost a full point less, 0.87. Mitchell is actually a little bit better with Gobert and really been struggling with Favors. Mitchell actually needs a pop pick. Doesn't have one, but Mitchell needs a pop pick because then he can drive. And we don't have that for him. So Mitchell's better with Gobert. So it was interesting last night because without Favors, suddenly Ingles had lost his guy. I mean, he and Derek are just remarkable together. And it was Joe and Rudy really did a nice job throughout the game kind of figuring each other out on how they were going to play and work together. And by the end of the night, Joe had 8 assists and Rudy had 21 points and 17 rebounds. And that, I thought, was a huge part of last night's game. And Joe spent a lot of ball handling time. Rubio had a nice night as well. You know, if Rubio goes 6 of 9, we win. 8 assists, 4 rebounds. And Boone just can't stop talking about the passion and energy that he plays with. Bench is just not coming through right now. Crowder, 1 for 9. Royce O'Neal, who was so hot before the break, 1 for 3, and I think he's really injured his shoulder and is playing through a great deal of pain. He's 6 of 25 from the field recently, and AB just can't get it rolling. So that's a concern. You know, you go on this upcoming road trip, you got to find ways to get these things done. So I'm really just kind of, as a basketball fan, pretty mesmerized by Rudy right now. So I think it's clear to me, and we've talked about this a lot, but we talk a lot, so we share a lot of the same things. That when the offensive impact that is had by James Harden and Steph Curry, to me, Rudy Gobert is having the same impact on the game defensively, if not more. But I think, so if you just kind of look over this last 20 games, the Jazz defense is 10 points better than average. And Harden and Curry are 9 points above average. So, you know, to some level, here you simply just have is this guy that's that good. He's so good that he's impacting the game at the same rate as Harden and Curry are offensively, defensively. It's a hard conceptual concept, but I think it's, you know, it's probably true. And then if you dig in the next step and you start looking at his, you know, defensive rating since he's come back, just with him on the floor for the year, the defensive rating with Rudy on the floor is a 99. The defensive rating for the team since he's come back is a 98.7. Second best in the league is a 101. I mean, that run I gave you, those numbers I gave you a minute ago, in 68% of the games that Rudy plays, the Jazz hold the opponent to an offensive rating below 101. The question to me, here's really what it is. It doesn't make any sense how much we're winning. If we're really honest about it, it does not, I mean, we should beat Orlando, but it does not make any sense to me looking the way, if you look at the prism of the NBA through the traditional eyes, that this team is 34-30. Now we're the 4th best defensive team and the 18th best offensive team. Is that better than being the other way around? Is it better to be the 4th best offensive team and the 18th best defensive team? This is the question we asked we've asked, you know, this whole time. For the season, I don't, you know, there's probably some teams that are comparable to that we should be looking at. It's easier to look at how good those teams are. They're really, you know, the Clippers are the 7th best offensive team and the 17th best defensive team. The Pelicans are the 8th best offense and the 18th best defense. And the Jazz, for the season, are 18-5. and our record's a little less than theirs. So maybe it is more important to be offense. So maybe it is more important to be Steph Curry or James Harden than Rudy Gobert. So, I mean, the first question is, do you buy the concept that the impact's the same? And then the second question is, well, what's more important? And then you're trying to figure out, if that's the case, how do you value these players? I mean, Rudy's top 10 player in the league. Is he top five? And then if you can start to look at it that way, then some fact that the Jazz have gone on this streak maybe makes a bit more sense. Rudy wasn't great when the year started, right? He wasn't playing as well as he is right now. But that's kind of where I am, is trying to figure out. The big first premise is, you look at us right now, and I think you have to say to yourself, okay, there's something going on where we're a little bit better than people realize, which means something's being undervalued. And, you know, it could be Quinn, could be Joe Ingles, could be Dennis's lineup structure or roster structure. Could be Donovan. I think we know how to value that, though. I'm going to go with Rudy. And then part two of the question is, so how good is he? Now, what I've brought up before that has been brought up to me is, I'm not sure what impact Harden and Curry have on the defensive end. But Gobert's offensive impact is better than Curry and Harden's defensive impact. And if we just decided that Gobert's defensive effort is close to that of Harden and Curry's offensive effort, or did we? You know, I don't know the answer to that. Is maybe offensive, not effort, impact is probably a better word. Is impact more important? You know, maybe offensive impact is more important than defensive impact. That's kind of, we came close there without a lot of research. But offensive impact of Curry and Harden is equal to Gobert's impact defensively. Then you flip it, and Gobert's is better. Gobert's weakness area, offensive impact, is stronger than what Harden and Curry have defense. Durant might be better, you know, in both categories. LeBron, I don't know. But it makes you begin to wonder, like, so how impactful on a game is Rudy Gobert? And then it maybe explains some of the winning that the Jazz are doing. And maybe Dennis and Quinn and everybody knows this, and I'm late to the party. But it is definitely a new way to look at how players are valued. If you are have 1 to 5 employees, and you're not using Mazuma USA, you're losing money in Clarity, and the next month's a pain in the butt for you, right? Because no one likes doing their books. You hate trying to find 12 months of information. And if you're a business under yourself and you have 1 to 5 employees, this entire company is made for you. For $75 a month, you get bookkeeping reports. You get your own CPA. You have personal business tax returns. Here's how it works. You sign up. You get an orientation call with your bookkeeper and your CPA. For $75 a month, you have your own bookkeeper and your own CPA. They hook in. You connect them with your stuff. And immediately, they give you the first sets of reports. You're done now. You don't have to do anything else. Every month, you get a report. Every quarter tax planning call comes in from them. And at the end of the year, boom, you get all your stuff without this scramble for the next 40 days to get to April 15th. There's no contract. You can cancel at any time. And there's no hidden fees. It's pretty awesome. It's really cool business. Neat model. $75 a month. It's MazumaUSA.com. MazumaUSA.com. Promo code LOCKED gets you 25% off. Call for a free consultation, 801-980-2102. 801-980-2102. All right, let's do Time Machine Tuesday. He grabs the bag off the floor. He looks to the calendar to make sure he'll be home next Tuesday and doesn't have to take it on the road. He being me. And he pulls out the year, blank piece of paper. Next one. 1992-93. I feel like we've done that year recently. Let's go look at it. The Utah Jazz, 92-93. Nope, we had not done 92-93. All right, let's go look at it. Head coach Jerry Sloan, still in the old logo. And the date, March 6th, on Time Machine Travel of the 1992 season. The Jazz beat lost to the Atlanta Hawks tonight. What a talk radio. Well, talk radio, I was doing talk radio now. I probably was killing this team. The Jazz lost to the Atlanta Hawks for what was their 7th loss in 8 games, their 9th in 12. Wow. We allowed 139 points to the 27-31 Atlanta Hawks on a Saturday night in Atlanta. Disarray. John Stockton had 17 points and 12 assists. Mookie Blaylock had 23 assists that night against the Jazz. Dominique Wilkins had 26. Kevin Wilkins had 28. A guy by the name of Travis Mays came off the bench, took 7 threes, which was a lot then. The Jazz took 5 the entire game and beat the Jazz. Adam Keefe had 17 for the Hawks that night. For the Jazz, they started John Stockton, Jeff Malone, Mike Brown, Tyrone Corbin, and Karl Malone. So we were missing our center. Is this the year Felton got hurt? Maybe. I'll have to go back and look at it in a second. Mailman had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 turnovers. Jeff Malone was 5 of 12 for 12 points. David Benoit had 13 points off the bench. Stephen Howard played 10 minutes, scored 12 points. Larry Kruskoviak played 8 minutes that night for the Jazz. So did John Crotty, played a little. Ike Austin, Mark Eaton. So Mark Eaton just wasn't playing well, and so he got benched. And Jay Humphries had 21 minutes, scored 8 points. So the Jazz, and the Jazz allowed Atlanta to have an offensive rating of 139. The Hawks scored 46 points in the third quarter. They scored 77 points in the second half that night. So for the old ever, hear the argument, this never happened when Stockton and Malone played. Well, it did on March 6th of 1993. Wow, the Jazz really were in a tailspin. Any other interesting notes on that one? The attendance was 14,000. The officials were Jess Kersey, Ronnie Nunn, and Hank Armstrong. Greg Foster played for Atlanta that night, former future Jazz man. Taking a little bit look more at that 90, so they lose to Atlanta. Wow. What a weird year. The Jazz were rolling. They were 24-10. By the time they lost to Atlanta, they were 34-25. So they'd gone 10-15 in their last 25 games. Things had fallen apart. This is probably when I was on the air stupid enough to say we should trade Karl Malone for LaPhonso Ellis. Might be. Righted the ship a little bit and then lost in the first round of the playoffs to Seattle badly. And fought. Maybe just wasn't that good a team. And shortly thereafter is the Jeff Malone trade, where they trade Jeff Malone to get Jeff Hornacek and things figure themselves out. So we jatted the third best attendance of any team in the NBA that year. Interesting. That is Time Machine Tuesday. I'm David Locke. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network.